Today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Urban Float, the premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. Experience the ultimate in weightless relaxation, as well as the healing benefits of 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. Call 302-232-3141 to book your next float or book online at urbanfloat.com. And use the code FIRSTTIME to get 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. You?
See you a little closer. Bring the mic a little closer.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. I could hear you before, but it's just trying to have some consistency. How's it going, man?
Really good. Thanks for having me.
So you already had call? Oh, of course your phone starts ringing.
Oh, don't worry about it. All day. Just all day.
Is that how it is?
Yes.
Is that the life of a mortgage guy?
Yes. Got to be available. I'll have to text this person.
So introduce yourself for the world who doesn't know you.
My name is Christian Moore. I am a local loan officer here in Sussex County.
In the sweet town of Luton.
Milton.
I see.
I call Lewis, it Luton. Lewis and Milton, is that what
it is? It should be Lewis, right? I mean, we're close to it. I can smell Lewis from here.
Western Lewis.
Western Lewis. Well, I call it Luton, and I feel like we're holding down the corner.
Okay.
I mean,
I'll start using that.
So we talked a little bit. You're from Dover.
Yes.
I didn't even realize that. And the Rehoboth Social Podcast, well, people say, well, I'm not even from Rehoboth. It's Rehoboth Social, but it's, you know, everybody around in the area. I mean, sure. It's Rehoboth, Lewis, Luton, Dover, whatever.
Right.
Any fool that'll come talk to me.
Exactly. Wasn't hard to get me. I'm right next door, so.
Well, and I'm always interested in people that are living and people that are working. And you guys, Motto Mortgage, is that the name of it, right?
Motto, yes.
Motto Mortgage.
Exactly.
Okay. You guys moved in right next door. You actually took my old salon.
Really?
Yeah, this salon that we have here was two spaces. I had cut a huge hole through the wall.
Hmm.
That side where you guys were at was actually where the front desk was. My station was over there. There was a big seating area over there, and then you would come through the hole in the wall, which was, you know, looked like it was not just a hole. It was actually a cutout. And then this is really where the salon side was. And a couple years ago, we decided, it's a lot of space.
Right.
So I put the hole back in the wall and let go of it. And right away, you guys, well, Dustin, old father, came and got it. And
right.
It's been a great, I mean, I love having you guys over here. But I don't know really what goes on over there. And we met and we talked about podcasting. And of course, how old are you?
30.
So 30-year-olds are all interested in podcasting, I think, don't
right.
you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of. Do you, what's your favorite podcast? Do you listen to them? Do you have a favorite?
I don't a lot. I've listened to some Bill Burr.
Yeah.
I like comedy a lot, so I'll listen to some. And then once in a while, I'll hear like a Joe Rogan, something like that. But not the biggest podcast guy, so I don't know all the best ones.
Well, I'm not a big podcast guy either. I listen to one podcast. It's Joe Rogan's.
It's pretty good.
I love Joe Rogan. He had Bernie Sanders on yesterday.
Really?
It was huge for me, really. I mean, he's had Andrew Yang, he had the senator from Hawaii, and now he's had Bernie Sanders. And even Bernie Sanders says, you know, because first question is, what do you think of these debates? You know, and we're not going to get into politics, but...
We're not.
But the fact is how the politics work, you know, it doesn't really give a candidate a lot of room to really tell what their platform is. And... a lot of these guys are turning to podcasts. You know, that Bernie Sanders will be on for 3 hours on a Joe Rogan podcast where he got 15 minutes on national TV. And so I think more people are starting to listen to podcasts. I think more people are starting to use podcasts as a platform to get their story out.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Rogan leans a little bit right, correct? Isn't he?
I think he's more center.
Okay, centrist. I like that. I would call myself that, too.
I would call myself that, too. I think both sides have great ideas.
I find myself playing devil's advocate anytime I get in that kind of discussion, whether I'm talking to somebody who's left or right. I just like to, you know, be a pain, I think.
I got into it a little bit. I don't get into it, but I got into it a little bit on someone who posted, you know, you mentioned you have a child. How old's your son?
Just turned one.
Yeah. You haven't even seen where this goes, but my little ones go to Rehoboth Elementary, and they rebuilt the school. They built a new school, and somebody was like, "Oh, I like how the school districts, you know, use our money, our taxpayer money, a la carte to make this." And his complaint was that the school had angles and it had designs and it looked good. you know, and he felt that was a waste of money. He would have preferred like shoeboxes, you know, almost this guy probably would have preferred trailers, you know. But I'm like, you know, and I wrote, I had to write something. And
before.
Well, and I wrote, you know, you should have seen the shit boxes these kids were going to school in before. You know, these, my father, who's 82, played basketball in the gym where my little ones go to school. So I think it's time for a new school. And
yeah.
You always have somebody with some stupid opinion about something, right?
Definitely.
Definitely. But we won't get into that. Or any more than we are. Well, eventually your kids will go to school and you'll be like, you'll have to get into
it. I'll care.
It.
You know, I want it to be aesthetically pleasing. It helps you help the kids stay engaged, I think.
How long have you been in Dover? Or did you grow up in Dover? You want, well, I tell you what, why don't you share a little bit of your story? Sure. Let's learn about you.
I actually grew up in Frederica, about a mile north of Frederica,
okay,
on a soybean farm.
Mm.
So, yeah, I would just go out there and eat soybeans. I grew up in Frederica, and then when I was about 8, I moved to the big city of Dover.
Okay.
And then,
was your family farmers?
No, I just lived like
next to a soybean. Because exactly. I live next to a soybean field now.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
So you know what it's like. It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. We eat cool. The fresh soybeans.
So, yep, lived in Dover. Lived there my whole life till college. Went to school in Philly at LaSalle. And then off and on, I've worked up in Marlton, New Jersey, Philly, and just couldn't take it anymore. I was driving like 90 minutes up there every day from Dover.
Yeah.
It was a drag. And with the kid keeping you up all night,
oh,
it was time to come back local. You know, the things you do for a dollar sometimes, it's just, it's crazy.
Well, we were just talking about this a little while ago. You know, it's redefining happiness. I know as a 50-year-old, you're much younger than me, but, you know, and you kind of go through it. But at some point, I just had to start redefining what makes me happy. And, you know, chasing that damn dollar isn't it.
Once you have a kid, it's just like a switch flips. When you're 23 and you're starting out and, you know, then it's everything. I couldn't wait to go back to work on Monday when I was 23, when it was Saturday. Isn't that disgusting?
That is.
And now...
That's not disgusting, but
like,
I get it.
But, you know, I mean, I wanted to win. It's a sales job, you know, mm-hmm. So I wanted to go back to work. And now I just can't wait to go home and see my kid. And just, I kind of, you pump the brakes a little bit when you have a kid. And
what's his name?
Julian.
Yes. I like that.
Thanks.
Let's call him Julian instead of the kid.
All right, we'll call him Julian.
Let's give that guy some identity.
There's a lot of nicknames, as you know, but we'll call him that.
Well, I used to, when I first had my first son, David, I used to call him the boy. And my friend was like, why do you call him the boy? Why don't you call him his name? I go, I don't know. For some reason, I felt like the boy was kind of cool.
I call him that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it
sounds like fine. So, David.
That's my, like, in my family, there's my uncle's David. My pop-up's name was David. My middle name's David. So, I like that.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow, yeah. Nice. My mm-hmm. first name's David. David Thomas.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's right. We already got something in common,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, we do.
Did you like seltzers?
Cheers.
Oh.
Mine's a beer.
Yeah, right.
Mom, if you're listening, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. You could drink beer in here. Corporate's like, you need to have a beer refrigerator in there. And I'm like, okay. But we'll stick with seltzers for this morning.
All right. This time.
So you redefined happiness, you changed your drive, you had a child, and now here you are in Luton working at a Motto Mortgage.
Yes.
How is that?
It's great.
Is that I saw the other day the interest rate got dropped.
Oh, yeah. That's great for me.
Because I have another friend who does mortgages, and he did a Facebook Live thing, and he said that would really not change interest rates.
Well, it was already baked in. So when the Federal Reserve, a lot of times news leaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So lenders will pre-bake in the interest rates lower, expecting that the news is going to happen and follow.
Okay.
So that's kind of how it worked. But it's good that they lowered it, obviously.
I was
going to
say, what's the point
then?
Yeah, right.
If they wouldn't have. And it's just, it's good, you know, for the next X amount of months, years. If it stays low, then that's great for somebody like me.
Well, and then for somebody like me who I'm thinking about doing some home improvements, I want to build a deck. I want to put a, and you'll find this out. I have 3 kids, and they're getting, and my older son, David, you know, he needs his own room. We live in a 3-bedroom house, and I'd like to add a room and a deck and a couple little other things. And you know, my father's like, oh, interest rates are lower now, so you should, you know, get a loan and then have everything put back into your mortgage. I have actually a low, when I got my, I had my house refinanced, I think I actually have a low interest rate already.
Do you want to share what it is?
I don't know what it is. I think it was like three or something, three and a quarter.
That's great.
Because there was a time that it was low again, right? I mean, then it must have gone back up, and now it's back down to low. But mm-hmm. I think I...
2013, I believe, it went up to like five for a little bit, and then a year and a half ago it did, and then it goes back down, and people freak out and think they need to lock, and then they refinance. What I think is...
Lay some expertise on me.
I think if... I like to do cash-out loans for people to consolidate high-interest debt.
Uh-huh.
Even if your rate rises a little bit, right. If you're getting those 16% credit cards, your 6% student loans, putting them all into one, make it a manageable one payment per month. I'm doing that for a nice lady right now. It's great. I mean, you can save somebody. I've saved someone $2,000 a month before. I mean, obviously, these are people with huge houses and a lot of expenses, high income. But I've saved some people some crazy money, and they didn't even think to do it.
There's a friend of mine who's a very smart guy, smart business guy. Business owner, and I talked to him yesterday, and he had a big amount of money out for student loans for his kids, and he's been paying on it. He paid actually up to, I think he's paid $70,000 towards these loans, and he just found out yesterday that he hasn't paid anything on the principal.
That stinks.
Yeah, but this is a smart guy. I mean, somehow he's like, and he goes, I didn't read the loan right, or something. Something happened. Something slipped through the crack with him where he has now basically just been paying all on the interest.
Well, that means he had it on interest only. I mean, a lot of people do that. I see people who make $250,000 a year and their student loans, they pay interest only because they think they can make more with their money elsewhere. So it's just to each his own kind of thing with that. You know, some people are in a hurry to pay off their debt. There's different schools of thought. People, your generation, pay off your debt. That's just what's ingrained in you. And for me, it's borrow as much as you can for as cheap as you can for as long as you can. That's what I believe.
I think that was in my generation, too. There was a guy when I was buying a house over in Easton. He's like, claim five on taxes, you know, get all that money and then, you know, use that money to do something and at the end of the year pay the money back.
That's what I do.
I'm just not smart enough to do that.
Well, you don't want to give the government an interest-free loan all year. Unless you really can't handle your finances, you should pay less. Have them take out less from your taxes. That's what I believe. You don't want to give a loan. They're not paying you interest on it. But if you don't pay them, they're going to charge you interest.
Absolutely.
So how does that fare?
It's not.
So just get a budget and do it that way. That's what I'd recommend.
A budget? Here, pull this a little bit closer.
Sure.
Yeah, pull. Yeah, get over there because you're relaxing. So get it next to you. So that's what you would suggest, a budget.
Definitely.
And what, just budget in that payment?
Yeah. Yeah, if you get extra, put it in something that's going to make you money versus sitting there. Even if you get an extra $40 a paycheck, do something with it.
Well, I did see the stock market took a plunge.
Yes.
Is that good or bad?
It's good for us with the rates. Usually it's like the opposite. Mm-hmm. Stock market goes up, rates go down, and it's the opposite. So it just depends. It's good if you're an investor when the market's going up.
Right.
And then also if you want to borrow money, it's good. So
why would someone come see you?
Well, if they want to purchase a home,
okay.
There's a lot of options that people don't, you know, think about. And then also if they think their rate's high, then they can come talk to me and I can go over options with them.
Is there a formula, like if a rate is at this, then this would work, or if it's just a little bit above, it's not really worth it? I know like the cost of closing and all the costs that go along with refinancing sometimes outweigh the money even saved.
Sure. A good rule of thumb is usually a percentage point.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen people do it for less, especially if you're consolidating debt. Half point's good sometimes. Sometimes keep the rate the same.
What did it drop? What was the change?
About a quarter.
A quarter.
But it changes every day. That's the thing.
Oh, it does?
Yes, definitely. Pricing changes every day. So, and it doesn't mean the rate's going to change. So when you get an interest rate, usually, let's say it's 4% today.
Right.
With 0 points, meaning no buy down or no credit back from the lender. Tomorrow, it might cost you an eighth of a percent of the loan amount, let's say the loan amount's $100,000, to achieve that rate. So it's always on an eighth of a point basis, the rate, either with a cost or a credit associated with it.
If I have this glazed look on my eye when I'm listening to that, it's because I really struggle to understand any of that stuff.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of who shot John
exactly.
Going on there. So is this a dumb question, but what is a point?
1 point equals 1% of the loan amount.
No, but you say 0% plus 2 points. I mean, what is that?
That is prepaid interest to buy down the interest rate. So a lot of times you'll see things online like the rate's at 3.5% right now, but what they don't tell you is there's an extra cost associated with that. Where a 0 point rate, meaning you're not paying extra to achieve the rate, is at 4. So you can buy it down by prepaying interest, or you can take the par rate, or you can take a higher interest rate and they give you back a lender credit towards your cost. So it's like a sliding scale. You can really choose whatever rate you want.
You're smart.
Thanks.
It's good to know you're working right next to me, because
give me a call anytime.
Yeah, that's some great stuff to know. I mean, that's why I don't really mess with it too much, because it's very confusing. And sometimes I feel like I'm chasing something and I'm, you know, the terms cut off my nose to spite my face.
I've heard it, but, you know.
Do you get it?
No. I'm not that smart, I guess.
Yeah, well, I feel like sometimes I'm trying to achieve something and it's costing me more money to achieve it.
I see. So and what I do, you know, I usually do for people what I would do for myself. I try not to educate people too much unless I need to. What I'm offering someone is what I think is best.
Right.
You know, if you get too much into it and try to explain too much, then people think you're trying to bamboozle them.
Right.
So I'm not doing that. You know, I just try to, if someone has a question, I have the answers. But if you get into too much with someone, it'll scare them off, basically.
Well, I can tell you that in the short period of time that I've been sitting with you, I get a feel that you're a very honest guy.
I am.
You've got that kind of aw shucks kind of thing. I mean, you seem like a great guy. So
thanks.
You know, it's tough because there's, you know, the business isn't always full of great guys. You know, it's a cutthroat kind of business.
That's what's so frustrating. When I lose a deal to somebody, they'll pull the wool over someone's eyes. Mm. You know, they'll give them that 3%, but with 2 points. What the hell does that mean, 2 points? They don't know. They're not looking at the cost. They're just looking at the rate. So that's what's so frustrating. And then you're forced to play that game. And I don't want to do that, you know, because it's just so dishonest. And
right.
It's just such a shame. It's the way it is. I mean,
how did you get into this business? Was this something you were always interested in, or did it just life just led you to it?
My roommate in college did it first. Mm-hmm. I was back in Dover, and he was up in Jersey, right across the bridge from Philly. He came down, and we're just talking. You know, he came to visit, and he's like, "What are you doing?" I was a mailman at the time.
Wow.
And I'm like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Are you doing pretty well?" And he's like, "Yeah." I was like, you know, 23 at the time, so I'm like, "Dude, get me a job." He's like, "You got to move up to New Jersey." I said, "You don't think I will?" Within 2 weeks, I packed my stuff and moved up to New Jersey. Just uprooted my life. I had an apartment, one-bedroom apartment, about $15 in the bank after the security deposit. And I sat against the wall with a bottle of champagne the first night with no furniture by myself. I said, "Let's do this." And here we are 7 years later.
And it's been a great journey.
Yes. Yes. I've lent a lot of money.
You've lent a lot. Oh, well, hey, I have a question. How much money have you lent?
Conservatively, I think about $180 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yep. $180 million.
So, would you believe that some people are cut out for it and some aren't?
Definitely. This job is really tough. I mean, everybody would do this job if it was easy. You know, the hardest part of this job is the stress,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're just starting out, when you don't know what you're doing. Having difficult conversations with people. That's what you get paid for. It's not the loans. It's letting somebody down. And a lot of times you see really crazy stuff.
Well, and just and that's funny you mentioned that, because I just kind of went through that. You know, I had this vision of what my house was worth. You know, I wanted to borrow against the equity. I'm like, you know, we're sitting sweet. And after it all, you know, all the numbers were crunched down, it was a lot less than I was hoping for. I was disappointed.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
That conversation's, I mean, I'm talking, I've seen some crazy stuff and people screaming, so upset that they're not even crying, they're laughing, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's, I try to not put myself at risk so much that I get into a place where I'm having to cry, but I was a little disappointed. You know, I thought that the banks would recognize how awesome our situation was and I would be able to get some money, and it wasn't the case.
It's so black and white these days. There's no, I can't sit down with you and interview you and I know you're going to make your payment. It doesn't work that way. The numbers have to, it's just, you're going to get the loan or not.
Well, and the other thing is that sometimes I would, you know, out of emotion, out of, you know, the joy of what I want to do, might set myself up for some problems later on once, you know, the room's built and the deck's built and all this stuff's built, and then I've all of a sudden got a bigger payment than I was expecting, and now I'm living above my means.
Sure.
And then the stress starts.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we've had to adjust our dreams, I suppose, as far as this room goes. I think we're just going to build a room, maybe no deck.
Sure.
But, you know, you have to kind of adjust. My wife, you know, she works at a bank, and they've tried to get her to come to the banking side. And she's like, you know, I like doing what I do. You know, I don't want to be stressed out. You know, she knows what she's good at. I know that the like, even starting this podcast, I'm having to do some uncomfortable stuff. Reach out, do cold calls, so to speak.
I do that.
Yeah, I mean that's a tough part of that business.
Oh, it stings. Rejection. I mean, that's,
unless you're good at it.
Well, I believe that you have to exercise that muscle of being rejected, of uncertainty, of feeling. I wouldn't have done this 7 years ago when I was started. I would have been a nervous wreck. But you have to put yourself, in, you know, out of your comfort zone, and then you get used to it. It's
well,
like
that's
muscle.
Don't you think that's where the miracle happens?
Yeah, I think so. I think all the best things in life are you being bold, doing stuff that you didn't want to do.
All the best things take place right after the part where most people would have stopped.
That's exactly right.
It happens with exercise. It happens with working. It happens with, you know, raising children. You know, it's right where the miracle happens. I mean, I think I like walking up to people I don't know and introducing myself and asking them to come on my podcast.
Oh, it gets the heart racing.
Yeah.
You got to have it. I try to do something uncomfortable every day.
You know, when we went to this Pathways to Success event, there was a bunch of important people there, and I had to introduce myself and say, you know, hey, my name's so-and-so, and I'd love to have you on the podcast. And then they'd be like, well, what's it about? And then I'd have to actually have a conversation with for a person, a guy like me, who's always been down here, sort of, so to speak, and to try to relate with people that are kind of up here is scary. But, you know, you just go through it. My buddy Matt used to always say, as long as you're not paying for hookers and smoking crack, it'll all work out.
Well, I don't see you as down here, so we're right here.
You know what I'm saying? But there was a time I was.
I see.
And it's sometimes I can revert back to that spot. Like,
sure.
I'm not good enough to do a podcast with this guy. You know, it's just habit.
Got
to
convince yourself. That's all.
It's habit.
It's just you.
You know, we're building new habits. You know, I'm coming up here. You know, now I'm hanging out with guys like you who's spending time. But, you know, but it's still that cold call. You know, you still got to try to.
For the record, I got out of my car and Tom was like, hey, you want to do a podcast? So I'm like, all right, sign me up.
It was a cold yell.
Sight unseen. Let's do it. And here we are.
Well, but you did some research.
I listened to one.
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, if it was something you wouldn't have enjoyed, you maybe wouldn't have done it.
Maybe
I had Preston Shell on the podcast, and he goes, you know, I had to listen to one of your podcasts to make sure I wasn't getting set up to be like attacked.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to go to a Howard Stern type podcast where they're asking you all these personal questions and you can't get out.
Well, I mean, hey.
We haven't gotten there yet. So.
Well, do you guys think you got any personal stuff you want to drop? I mean,
not at the moment. No.
So what's a day like for you? You say you have a new child.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what's a day like for you?
Well, getting kicked in the face all night. Now we're stuck. We're in the jail of him sleeping with us, Julian. Getting smacked in the face. I know it's
bro,
but you know,
bro.
They start crying in the middle of the night.
If
you
I
can't
had a yellow
it.
Flag right now, I'd throw it at you. Personal foul. So, 5-yard penalty.
So just a miserable night, and then he wakes up around 6. Get him ready. She takes him around 7, then I start getting myself ready. Maybe I'll work out or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll head here, and I'll start my day. The phone's blowing up usually on the way in the car.
Well, your phone's been blowing up the whole time. I mean, what is going on over there? I mean, is
people want to borrow money.
Is that what it is? Do people just start reaching out to
what's
mortgage?
Going on? And the loan is in process. What's going on with my loan? I need an update. And that's how you get businesses. You stay available, and you have the instant answers. If you're my age, I don't have any patience. I need to know the answers right now.
Right.
And people will be loyal to you and stick with you if you give them what they want right away.
So is that what's going on right now? A lot of people just trying to get mortgages to buy houses? Loans to buy houses?
Right now, my pipeline is about 80% purchase.
Purchase.
Yep. So Dustin and Maria, the owners, they also are the CEO of the Old Father Group.
Yep.
Of Ocean Atlantic Sotheby's Realtors.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily I get to hang out with them a lot, all the realtors, and I've gotten in with them. So it's great to have like a one-stop shop kind of affiliation where I can work for them and they can hold me accountable. And I like working for all those people, so it's great.
Well, and Dustin and Marie, I mean, great group.
Oh, yeah. I was sold immediately on the when I interviewed with them. I mean, you got to keep a poker face, obviously, but I knew I was going to work here.
Well, and I've known Dustin. I actually cut Dustin's hair many, many, many years ago. And he was a go-getter then. He just, you know. And as this podcast has been started, some of the things I've had to start trying to do is like a Facebook Live.
Right.
You know, Dustin's always doing Facebook Live. I'm always Jesus, Dustin.
I could never do that.
But right. You know what? But it's uncomfortable. You know, cold calls, now we're having to do Facebook Live. We're having to put ourselves out there.
Exactly.
But it's kind of the direction we're headed, right?
At the same time, you don't want to feel fake. I'm trying to be a little more active on Facebook, which was a little uncomfortable for me sharing my personal life. My friend requested you, by the way, and you didn't respond. What's your response to that right now live?
Oh, I did? You did?
I did.
Where'd you friend me? What'd you send it on?
Facebook.
I have a lot of Facebooks. I have Tom and I have David. If you friended it to Tom, I don't really.
That was it. That was the problem.
Send it to David. I'll accept you. I accept everyone. I have
David Thomas.
Yep.
Got it. All right. All right.
I apologize because I there you are. See,
I have so much rejection that I'm used to it. It didn't even faze me. So.
You get rejected on Facebook?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I meant in real life, just with cold calling realtors, stuff like that. Hey, do you have a partner? Yes, I do.
Yes.
Anything else?
Well, and so, but that's, and I we're now friends. There we are.
Great.
But, you know, it is uncomfortable. It is weird putting ourselves out there. You don't want to feel fake, but we also don't want to get left behind.
Sure. I try to share a little bit of my personal life here and there, what I feel comfortable sharing, mostly stuff with my kid. You know, I'm out with my wife. You know, having a good time, stuff like that.
I always said if I was a realtor, I would create a character. I used to do a cool vlog. I thought it was cool. I don't know if anybody else did, but it all started with like a time lapse in the morning, drone footage, me chatting, you know, just kind of what's going on, sharing what's going on in my day, whether it was a salon, more time lapse, more drone stuff. You know, I always picture as a real estate agent, you know, this character. You know, and maybe as a mortgage guy, maybe you, not a character, like, but, you know, just somebody that's, oh, there's Christian. You know, he's got, you know, I know what Christian's going to do. We're going to talk, you know, where's the interest rate at? A lot of stuff going on, a lot of phone calls, just kind of updating, you know, not a different Christian, but the sure. Christian that you are. Maybe something like that might be fun to do, just where people start relying on you on a daily basis, just to kind of know what's going on in that field.
I see a lot of other people doing that. It's just a matter of doing it, I think, and committing to it.
Well, when are we going to do that?
Because you have some days where you're not feeling it. You know,
you're not feeling it.
Yeah,
it's tough out there.
Oh yeah.
Remember the days of you probably don't, but you know, you run an ad on the paper.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've seen them.
Yeah, those are. I mean, much more simple.
Definitely. Now everything you got to stay ahead. You got to stay in front of people on social media. That's it. No one's responding to emails anymore. They're going through their news feed, and they're spending X amount of time per day looking at this. If you can just chisel into that, I think that's the way somebody like Dustin does it, you know.
Dustin's good at it. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, I'm sure Dustin's like, I don't know. Well, I can't speak for Dustin, but I would imagine he'd be like, oh, God, I got to do this Facebook Live again.
You wouldn't think that to see the video, so.
But you know what? He's got his own mortgage company now. I mean, yeah.
It's a good mortgage company.
It's like having a hair salon business and then owning a scissor company. Yeah. You know, it's the right thing to do. It's pretty smart. So you get to work, your phone's blowing up, you start reaching out to people, you do your Facebook Live. I mean, how many days down here a week are you?
I usually like to be around four.
4 days?
You know, maybe one day a week I'll stay in the, you know, Kent area, hopefully meet up with somebody, a realtor or something.
Is there an office up there?
No.
You don't have an office?
I'm just remote. That's what I really like about here is I can plug in from home. I can plug in from Starbucks, wherever, chained to a desk at the other place driving up there, and no remote access, which is just awful.
Yeah.
You don't have any contact with your people outside of business hours. It was awful.
Do you do any other social media?
Nope, just the standard, you know, Facebook, Instagram stuff. I'm pretty private with my personal life usually, so I'm really, again, just
going to Facebook. We'll see how private you are.
Taking some baby steps here.
Let's see what kind of guy we got dealing with here. Oh, wait a minute. I lost you already. Damn it. There we go. Oops. I love... forget it. I can't even get on there right now. I love Facebook. People are, you know, everyone's like, oh, Facebook, and it's got so many problems. And I just delete anything that creates drama in my life on Facebook. Because to me, it's really me documenting my life.
Right.
You know, it's... And I like going through my own Facebook. I'm like, oh, remember that day?
It's great.
Yeah, I do a lot of pictures with my kids. My kids... Instagram I struggle a little bit with because I'm not sure what the point of it is.
Just to be artsy sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Take some cool photos here and there.
How do you make mortgages or loaning money artsy?
Oh, boy. I mean, we have a motto page. We try to create content for just, you know, corny stuff. I think the last one I did was I was doing a Rubik's Cube, and then I sped it up real quick. And so it's just... It's like, let me solve your mortgage problem.
Oh, that I kind like of that.
Thing. Yeah. Just stuff to keep people entertained mildly. There's not the most entertaining thing in the world, you know, money, finance. It's just...
What's the biggest problem you're solving?
I'd say getting people into homes. I mean, what I really like about Motto is the first loan I closed here was a loan I never could have closed at any of the other banks I've worked for. I've worked for Capital One, Citizens, PHH, who was a correspondent lender. I mean, I work for a bunch of different banks. But anyway.
Why?
Because we are a broker, so we can shop scenarios to a bunch of lenders and see who will take it on. I can talk to account executives to determine if they'll take it on. So in this instance, there was a lot of, like, collections, an aggregate amount that was, you know, maybe around, like, $15,000 to $20,000. And usually if it's above $2,500, you have to pay it off. This lender's like, you know what? Just times that number by 5%, and as long as they still qualify, we'll do it. Okay. And that's the most rewarding part of the job, is closing on that loan, getting someone into a home for the first time with their family where they couldn't have gone anywhere else. And I took all that extra time to shop it for them. It's just such a rewarding feeling.
So is that the difference between, like, a big lender and a little more local lender? Is that you can do, you know, we had... Jet Set Travel. I mean, the lady at Jet Set Travel, she went above and beyond to help us book this vacation, where, like, if I had just called, you know, Apple or something, it'd be like, this is what you get? You don't want it? I'll just go to the next person because we got a list of people. Where she was able to rebook our vacation the next day. She really spent a lot of effort. I mean, is that the difference?
So I've done loans in every state, including Alaska. So when you're calling some hungover college kid, you know, in a call center, mm-hmm. you're going to get a certain level of service. When you're calling a broker who's local, who knows the neighborhood you're going to live in, who cares about you, who's going to attend your closing, you're going to get that service, and they're going to take a lot more time than somebody who's got to hit X number. They're going to move on to the next person.
Right.
So that's what I really like about making this step, is I spent 7 years basically training for this. Like, you have to know what you're doing to show your face in your local community and be the guy. You can't go into this fresh and then some realtor's going to take a chance on you with their client and ruin their reputation. So that's the stressful part, but it's also the most rewarding part.
Well, and the nice thing about that, honestly, is that, you know, and I think Dustin and Maria have kind of pushed that down. You know, they do that extra effort, that local feel. They'll go the extra mile for a client, and I think that's, you know, to kind of put that into the Motto mortgage business as well, where it's that same kind of, you know, local feel. That's nice.
Because they want to. They want to do that. So do I. I mean, it's great for business to do that, but it's great. It's fun.
I was thinking of starting a new podcast called Local World, and I feel like that's kind of what that is. It's kind of like that local feel, but in a worldly kind of, you know, you're dealing with worldly issues, but with a more local feel, a local touch.
Sounds interesting. I'll check it out.
Well, I haven't done it. I thought about it last night when I was in bed. I'm like, Local World. Well, you know, we're going to start 5 podcasts under the Rehoboth Social umbrella. 5 personalities. And maybe, you can maybe do a podcast. Maybe we'll have a finance
podcast. I'd
love podcast. To. Yeah. Maybe if you do one every week.
I wish that I could go into my old high school and teach credit, teach finance, teach how to... Like, just life skills that weren't taught to us. We're taught to go find a job, do this. We're not taught to save money to buy a house, how to, like, build long-term wealth for your family. Such a shame, you know, because everyone ruins their credit when they're young. They don't know to save a couple dollars, and it's just like, and we're learning art instead. I mean, art's great, or we're learning home ec. It's like, this is way more valuable in the real world.
It is, but listen, you need to, my daughter came to me and asked me if I could fix her little stuffed animal, and I sewed that eye on, which I learned in home ec. And I tell you what,
it's valuable.
That was huge.
I'm not discrediting
it. I was a freaking hero.
I'm saying we need to add that in.
Well, and I honestly, Christian, I agree. I mean, when I talk about this kind of stuff with people, I'm not educated in it. You know, I only become educated when it's important to me. And then once I'm done getting my loan or buying my house, then it just goes out the other side of my brain. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people, and I think also there's a lot of people out there that are, maybe embarrassed that they're not very smart about this topic. You know, when you start talking about mortgages and interest rates, I mean, there's always somebody that'll educate you, right?
Sure.
There's always that guy. But a lot of us, we don't know a lot about it. And, you know, just me asking you what's a point is a little bit embarrassing because I don't really understand
it. Everybody feels that way. And that's what is so tough to overcome is some people are prone not to trust you when you're a finance guy. So once you get their trust, it's great. I mean, I can sleep at night because I know I'm doing the right thing. But it is hard to overcome that sometimes.
Well, and I can tell you, just as in this conversation that you and I have had, I feel like addressing some of these loan issues that are my trying to figure out where to get some money with you. Maybe you can help me figure it out.
For sure. If I can't do it, nobody can, because, again, we have some crazy stuff. It's starting to deregulate the way things are now. Got really tight after 2008, right? It was really hard to get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just they're trying to find a happy medium there. So...
Well, it was a lot easier in 2008 than it was in 1999.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. Dude, we were that second mortgage. We were going to buy this house in Easton, and we couldn't even afford it. And they were working all sorts of stuff to try to this second bubble loan or what?
Oh, geez, balloon?
Balloon, yes.
So you have to pay it off by X amount of time before they're going to take your house.
But we just wanted this house so much.
Right.
And finally, we had a conversation, my wife and I at the time, and we said, look, we can't afford it. And you know, we walked away, bought a townhouse, but it was...
The hardest sales in this job are selling someone on why we can't do the loan. It's not on, I want to do the loan for you, that's what I'm paid for. But when I can't, and I've exhausted every avenue I have, it's so hard to get people to finally accept that, look, it's going to take time, we can't do it right now.
If I gave you an hour a week, would you take it for and do a podcast?
Sure.
Educate the world?
Yes.
And if we ever figure out how to create any revenue, I'll pay you.
I think that'd be a lot of fun. I'd do it for free.
Well, you know what? That's why we would do it. That's why I do it. I do this for free. If it becomes about money, then it becomes a job. And then I'm not going to be that great at it, or whether I'm great or not, but enjoy it, you know?
How do you pronounce this here? What is this called?
That's called a free seltzer.
What's the...
I don't know.
Okay.
I just...
Soleil?
Soleil.
Send the checks.
Soleil.
Send the checks, please.
Oh,
well, you're listening.
Hey, well, you know what? That's a good idea. But you know what? I think it would be great to start, you know, and if you can build a relationship with people, educating them, you might build a business. You might own your own mortgage company one day.
I can feel my eyes lighting up right now.
I can see. You're beaming, man.
Yes.
You're beaming. What do you think the biggest problem or the biggest... struggle that people don't understand about when they start to buy a house?
A lot of people think you can just get a loan with no down payment, no closing costs. They want 100% financing. Number one, you shouldn't be buying a house if you don't have at least like $2,000 in the bank, because you're going to furnish the house. What if something goes wrong with your air conditioning? Something like you just got to be ready.
That's a good tip.
You got to have a couple, like, just call it $2,000 at least. You know,
do you think there's a responsibility that someone has that can put $2,000 in the bank over someone that can't?
Yes, because if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you know, how can a lender, would you lend money to someone who has a fixed income and living paycheck to paycheck, everything's allocated?
No.
Right. So why would a bank lend like hundreds of thousands to someone without reserves or any down payment? Like, the risk is completely on the bank, not on the person, because I have no skin in the game. If I want to walk away, I can walk away. So that's a big thing. You can get into a home with zero down, sure.
Right.
And you can get the seller to pay your closing costs. I've gotten people into homes where they ended up only paid for their inspection, which is like $500.
Right.
But they had a couple dollars to put a bed in the home. They weren't like me when I went off to New Jersey and I was just sitting against a wall, you know, trying to make it. But yeah, that's a big misconception there.
So but do you believe that you should put down the least amount?
It depends. It really depends on the situation.
I mean, if you could use that money for other things, because you kind of hinted towards that, you know, yeah. Why let somebody have your money if you could do something better with your money?
For instance, VA loans are 100% financing. You don't have to put anything down if you're a veteran or active military. If the interest rate's 3.75 and inflation is 3%, that's like getting the loan for free. Because right. the value of money is going to keep, like, inflation's going to keep happening. If you can make 7 or 8% or 10 in the market, why would you put money down when you could have that extra money making more? So I would say borrow.
My friend who just had this epiphany that he's only been paying interest on this student loan, you know, he's like, you know, he's like, I got to sell something, you know, stocks or something. I'm just going to have to pay this off, this whole loan. But he's like, has to pick and choose what he's going to sell because some things make money, some things don't.
Sure.
You know, and I guess maybe you can help people figuring that out as well.
I love doing that. Yeah. I kind of, my buddy that got me this job, he's a financial advisor now. So, I mean, I kind of consider myself a little bit of that. You know, I'm not a certified one, but I think I know enough to help the average person who doesn't know much about finance.
Well, and I think a lot of people, like even for me, like I've bought stocks before. Mm-hmm. You know, certain stocks perform differently than others. Sure. So maybe you would be a good guy to come in and take a look and try to figure out what's performing, what's easier to get rid of.
One of my passions is day trading and swing trading, like stocks. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time. I mean, during the day, I'll check it a few times and research. I'm always researching it. So I love that stuff.
Are you driven by money, Christian?
You would think I was.
I'm just asking.
It's more of a competitiveness. Like, fine. The reason I don't have a salary job, right, is because you know what you're going to get. And I'm going to find the easiest way. That's how I am. So in this job, it's just what you make it, what you want to do, how much you want to put into it. That's why, you know, I like that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't say driven by money. I just say just competitiveness.
Skin in the game, I call it. Because mm-hmm. there's like, you know, when I first opened this hair salon, we did commission. You know, people came and then I paid them a commission from the money they earned. But people, I don't know, it didn't really work out. It's not a great setup. And now the people that work here, they rent the chair. They pay the salon to work here. They got money in the game. They've got skin in the game. And now they're more likely to hustle, you know, work.
I think that's brilliant. My mom owned a shop for 20 years. I told you in Dover, her name's Denny Moore. It was CISO, and also she worked at JK Tangles and La Bella Vita. So I see it. I mean, I know what you're going through. I think that's the smartest way to do it.
Well, my CPA goes, you know, after I, you know, between, you know, confronting thieves and, you know, just people and quitting, my CPA goes, you made more money this year with no commissioned employees than you did the previous 2 years.
So then you know it works.
It does work. Well, this was before I even had anybody renting chairs. This was just, you know, the waste and, you know, the they just don't care. You know, they don't care about the lights or the water or the products.
Well, I think you made them care by doing the rental situation.
The folks that are working here and renting the chairs are just amazing. I'm just so blessed to have these folks in my life. And, you know, when we pay the rent, you know, we're all paying the rent together. You know, we're all working as one.
I see the revolving door of people in and out, and you have the most aggressive parkers here. I mean, when they pull in, they're in a hurry, it seems like.
Do you notice where I park?
Yes, in the safety zone. There's no chance you're going to get hit.
Well, no, I try to leave the best spots for the paying clients.
Yeah, I do the same. I park all the way down on the right.
Yeah, I always, and this is kind of weird, but I judge a business on where the owner parks.
Hmm. You want to elaborate more on that?
I don't like it. I don't like a business where the owner takes the best parking spot.
Couldn't agree more.
I think that when Preston was on, I had the same question with him, and he goes, when I opened up, you know, where they have the Atlantic, where their office is now. He goes, yeah, when we first opened up that building, they designated me a parking spot right up front. And he didn't take it. He moved his car to the back.
That's awesome. Yeah, you want it to be available. People will ride right by if there's no spots. On an impulse, they'll change their mind, I think.
there was a period in my life. I remember when that changed for me. There was a time where I would take the best spot. And then at some, maybe, you know, at some age, it stopped. I started thinking, maybe I should save that for the paying clients.
It's good for business, yeah.
Is that maturing? Did I mature? Is that what happened?
I think so.
Did I grow up?
I think you have, yeah.
So what do you do for fun? I mean, we banged out the business side of this. I'm after we get off the mic, I'm going to talk to you about my loan because I think
great.
You're a smart guy. So
thanks.
You sold me. But what do you do for fun? I mean, what's a fun life for Christian? What do you guys?
Oh,
you
boy.
Have family.
I'm always doing something.
You say you work. Are you a runner? Do you bike? You lift weights?
I run. I got a treadmill at my house.
Do you run on the ground
during the wintertime?
Do you?
Not during the summer. I hate the heat, so I stay indoors.
Well, I've been doing, and I mentioned to you that I've been doing a lot of biking. I've decided in the summer I'm going to bike now.
I like biking.
And then when fall and winter come, I'll run.
I like playing golf a little bit.
Are you any good?
Not really, but I do have two hole-in-ones. You want to hear about that?
Mm.
First hole-in-one.
Absolutely.
First hole-in-one back around 2011. By myself, nobody around, little 80-yard par 3. Put it in, threw my club up, raised my hand, look around, nobody there. So obviously, when I go tell everyone, they're like, yeah, sure you did.
Right.
Then, the day after Christmas, 2014, I was with my dad and my two friends who I'd want to be there the most. Over a frozen lake, right before I hit it, I was like, I'm going to draw this in from right to left. And they're like, all right, yeah, buddy. And I even threw the grass up just to be an idiot. And I did it, and it went from right to left, landed right where I want, and we're like, oh, my God. It rolled right in the hole, and then there was a huge dog pile. I mean, we were just laughing, and, I mean, I was on the ground. So in front of the three people in the world who want to see it the most, that was a pretty good
feeling. I don't know if you knew this, but I actually have a degree in turf management. I was actually an assistant superintendent of a country club.
Oh, cool.
I did that for 9 years, and we would play golf. You know, I never played a round of golf. I mean, I've played rounds of golf, but I would play a ton of golf, but it would just be we would jump on nine and, you know, play a few holes as in our maintenance carts and stuff. And there's nothing like that feeling of when you hit that great shot.
It's the best.
I mean,
you can hit
50 crappy shots, but when you hit that sweet shot, it's like the least amount of effort with the maximum amount of results. It's
exactly.
Whoosh.
That's why you keep going back. That's
yeah, isn't that crazy? But, you know, all the other swings are just bang, you know, it doesn't hit it right, or you hit it with the heel or the toe. It's a nightmare.
I agree. I mean, I have no business being on a golf course right now. I could not hit the ball straight. That's how far I am removed since having the kid and the commute and all that. So,
there's a guy by the name of Pat Woods. He owns the factory, which is down the street here, and they do a lot of sports and stuff for kids. They have an indoor full-size basketball court that they actually got from the Knicks, one of the Brooklyn teams, an old Brooklyn professional NBA basketball team. They bought this old floor from him. And what was my point of that? Oh, anyway, he was on the podcast the other day, and, you know, we were talking about, you know, sports and athletics. I had a point to that. I forget. Anyway, he was a great guy. And, you know, he works a lot with the young people. And, God damn, I don't know why. I just forgot about
the edibles are kicking in.
Yeah, you want to talk about edibles?
Not really, but.
Well,
I was providing some comic relief there.
Yeah, well, I had a good point. I was going to share it with you, and then I forgot completely. Anyway, so you play some golf.
Yep.
Any other things you like doing?
Just hanging out with family. I love sports.
Beach?
Not too much, no. I can't sit still, so, you know, I can't go sit on a beach all day. I need to be, if we're going to play Frisbee on the beach, then sure. But my wife isn't really into all that, so, and obviously it's tougher to get with friends now. We all have kids.
Right.
So we get together, watch football, this and that.
Who's your team?
The Patriots.
No, it's good by me. I don't care.
Hope I didn't lose some viewers there.
Yeah, no,
I was born into it, so.
Well, and Tom Brady, he's a great, you know, he just got a contract extension, and, you know, it made it seem like it was a great deal. And then I watched some other show yesterday, and they were saying, you know, it really wasn't a great deal. And
until he stops winning Super Bowls, it's a good deal.
Well, they gave him an $8 million raise, is really what they did.
Well, you've taken such a pay cut previously. Also, the salary cap keeps increasing. Mm-hmm. So they already figured out their defense and their offense before. They handled him last with what they had left. So it's not like they did like a stupid move like all these other teams where they're giving Aaron Rodgers $33 million, then let's get some scraps to throw around him. That's how you go 8-8 every year.
Well, and I think the debate is whether if they're doing that, the Patriots, or Tom Brady's doing that. They, you know, there's one camp that says, you know, Tom Brady doesn't ask for a lot of money so that they can have decent players to play with.
Do you want to know a secret on why that is?
Yeah.
He has a brand called TB12. I don't know if you've ever been up there, but I've been up to the stadium. On the campus, which is owned by Kraft, he has his own TB12 shop. So you got to think, he doesn't have to share any of the information on the deal for his brand to be there. So you got to think there's some behind-the-scenes deal worked out where the salary is for show as far as his NFL salary, and then what other deal he has worked out to have his TB12 brand there probably makes up
more
than the rest.
So what does he sell on TB12?
It's like a lifestyle diet kind of thing about, you know, staying fit into your...
He's really into, like, stretches and I've...
Exactly.
Is that his new thing?
Yeah, just staying, I guess... Pliability is the word.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think it's, you know, I think it's, I actually, you know, hats off to the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm originally a Cowboys fan, but they're so annoying.
I agree.
I mean, the fact that Ezekiel Elliott's in Cabo holding out for a contract.
Trade him.
Yeah, get rid of him. Stay in Mexico. I mean.
Yeah.
Whatever they've done. Since they had that Super Bowl run back in the 90s, it's not working.
They've been in win-now mode every year, and that's why they overpay for people. And it's just, it is frustrating because I have family who is Cowboys fans, and you know, I feel the pain.
Well, and I grew up in Albuquerque. Okay. So, you know, we didn't have a team. That's what the Cowboys initially were, America's team. For everybody that didn't have a team, that's what we got, sure. The Cowboys. And but it's like there's zero humility out there. It's just such a self... style city in Dallas, these people, they just can't seem to pull it together.
Yeah.
And Amari Cooper, they're trying to figure. Now I saw something this morning, it's a prove it. They're giving them prove it contracts. Like, prove it and we'll pay you.
Yep, 1 year of like $14 million, and then if you do good, we'll extend you, basically, yeah. That thing. They did that with Alshon Jeffrey and the Eagles, too.
Are you a big sports guy?
Oh, yeah.
So we can... I like sports.
I like sports betting, too.
Well,
that's
one
of my hobbies.
Yeah, I don't bet.
No?
No, because I've got three kids.
Gotcha.
I don't drink and I don't bet. And I don't pay for hookers.
Okay.
But the you know, a couple years ago, we decided, hey, I'm just going to like a whole lot of teams so I can enjoy football again because I put so much emotion into the Cowboys that, you know, before Dak Prescott, you know, with
Romo.
Tony Romo. Oh. He, you know, he would get hurt, and you're like, oh, well, there it goes. We're done.
That was frustrating, yeah. I mean, it's just fun watching any – I can watch any game in football and enjoy it. It's not like basketball or baseball where you can get boring. Football, I just think, is great. It's great to watch.
Do you watch preseason?
No, not really. Maybe just like the last one of the year. I don't. It's just a big tease, I think.
Well, and I've been, you know, up until, you know, because football starts this weekend, right?
Started preseason. Last Thursday. They had the Hall of Fame game, and then Thursday is when, yeah, I guess technically.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I'm going to watch the preseason. I'm so excited about football, but then I'll watch one preseason. I'll be like, eh.
Yeah, they're going to cut most of those guys anyway. Just because they're wearing the uniform that you like doesn't mean that you're going to see those players.
So you're, I'm guessing you're just Tampa, I mean, just... Patriots, or is that, do you have any other teams you enjoy?
Just Patriots.
Patriots?
Because
I like Tampa Bay. I like, not Tampa Bay, I like Kansas City, my homeboy.
Oh, he's great.
I love that guy.
Oh, yeah. I started him every game last year.
I like the Rams.
Yeah.
I like the Steelers. I like, I like Tom Brady. I like the Patriots.
I don't have any hatred towards anybody. Even when the Eagles won the, you know, Super Bowl, that was one of the best games ever, even though we lost, you know, and all my friends are Eagles fans, so.
Well, I think as it's kind of whittles down, we decide, you know, like I rooted for the Eagles when they were in the Super Bowl. I don't like the Eagles, but when it came to that, I'm like, well, of course we could root for the Eagles. I rooted for the Ravens. I don't particularly care for the Ravens. They're boring.
Yeah. I went to week 17 at the Ravens, sat right against the wall. That was not boring. It was pretty cool.
Who's their new quarterback?
Darn it.
McLean? Is it a Mc?
No, definitely not.
It's not a McDonald?
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank.
Wasn't he from Oklahoma?
No. Why am I drawing a blank here? This is so.
No, who was the first round draft pick was from Oklahoma.
Lamar Jackson.
That's the quarterback for the Ravens.
Yes, and then you're talking about Baker Mayfield.
No, that was last year.
Kyler Murray on the Cardinals.
He went to the Cardinals.
Yes.
Okay, because we were talking about this last night. We could not remember where he went. What do you think about him? I heard he was really struggling with, like, understanding plays and diagramming plays.
I'm hearing the opposite. They're saying that he's ready. He's seasoned. When they drafted a quarterback in the first round the year before, and they traded him. So they wouldn't have gone all in on another one if they didn't think he was ready. But let's talk in 9 months and see what the record is. So.
Well, let's talk in, like, a month and see what the record is. Because, what do you think? I mean, do you have any predictions? What is it? The Raiders. Who's the guy, the wide receiver they brought over?
Antonio Brown.
He hasn't even played yet. He's like, but I saw a picture he posted on Instagram. He's got really bad foot problems.
I saw that.
That was nasty.
It's pretty bad, but I just watched Hard Knocks this morning, the documentary of them, and he's doing all right. He's warming up. So.
Is Hard Knocks following the Raiders this year?
Yes.
Well, what was the Cleveland Browns?
That was last year.
But I thought that, I mean, I saw on the when they Odell showed up. I mean, it was like it's been kind of following them through this offseason. Yeah.
They're definitely the team to watch this year because of all the moves they've made.
Did you see Baker Mayfield's thing he did with the beard?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
How freaking cool.
That was awesome.
Was that, do you know who Burt Reynolds is?
Yes.
Was it the longest yard that he was in?
Yes.
Reminded me of like the longest yard.
It's a shame Burt Reynolds died.
Oh, my God. He's a character. So, yeah. So, my new approach is to like a lot of teams and just enjoy football.
Can't go wrong with that. I mean, Sunday's just a great day to get together with everybody. And, you know, I have a group of friends that I just wouldn't trade them for the world. Get together on Sunday and, you know, it's just a great time.
Well, that's cool. My wife is not a big football fan, but she's become a football fan.
What's happening. It's really starting to, especially with fantasy. Well, I was talking to my friends about this. Women are starting to get super involved because, you know, obviously all the men get together and the fantasy football, women are getting into it. It's great. It's just a great way to bring people together, I think.
Well, I'm excited about football. Do you watch any other sports?
Yeah, I mean, I watch baseball in the playoffs. I watch hockey in the playoffs, basketball. But football is just the one where objectively it's the best. It's just the best.
I like, I used to be a big NASCAR fan. I used to enjoy racing and... But I was a big Jeff Gordon fan, and when he retired.
That's so weird. My mom, who I told you, you know, was a hairstylist, she was a big Jeff Gordon fan, too. That's wild. Is that a hairstylist thing?
Am I like your mother?
Yeah.
No, I think what it is that when Jeff Gordon came out, it was a big deal, you know. And I remember sitting at work, and I was reading this newspaper article. It was in USA Today, and it was on a Friday, and it was about this young gun, the new young gun, the Wonder Boy. And he was taking on like Rusty Wallace and Dale Earnhardt, and you know these big NASCAR guys, especially Dale Earnhardt. And he was taking him on, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I'd grown up listening about NASCAR. It was when I was a kid; they had it on like Sunday ABC Sports. You know, maybe Daytona or a Talladega, and they were just starting to kind of show the races on a little more on ESPN and ESPN2, and. That weekend, I'd read the article, and that weekend, you know, just nonchalantly reading the article, and that weekend was Talladega. And on ESPN, they had the Talladega race. On ESPN2, they had the whole race from in-car cameras. And I just, for some reason, started watching the race on in-car, and then I remembered the story I had read, and then here comes Jeff Gordon.
Oh, yeah, he had a good career. Does the movie that Will Ferrell did ruin Talladega for you forever, like it did for me? Because anytime I hear that name, I think of Talladega Nights.
No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. What do you mean ruin it? Like you don't like the race
when I hear the name, I just can't help but think about that movie. And then it discredits all of NASCAR because I think of him riding in the Wonder Bread car.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, back in those days, the early Talladega, you know, there's a lot to be discredited. There's a lot of shady racing. I think the part that... So when I watched that race, and then I fell in love with Jeff Gordon and NASCAR. I loved, all of a sudden I became excited. And I was drinking back then. Sure. I was enjoying some adult beverages. So it was easy to, you know, hang out and watch racing. What what I stopped liking about NASCAR was that it just became so cookie cutter. You know, sure. They took away, you know, on Sunday you'd be, you know, you'd have the race, and then on Monday it would be like, you know, Pontiacs had more spoiler. They had a couple extra horsepower, so of a sudden the Thunderbirds got a couple extra horsepower, and they got a half an inch. Pontiac lost a half an inch. It was this whole thing.
And then they talked to the crew chief, and he's like, well, we went out there on turn 3, made the necessary adjustments, got it right back on.
Yeah, but, you know, who knows what the hell was going on back then.
It's all
then.
About necessary adjustments.
They used to talk about how back in the old days, the 50s and 60s, like they'd fill the frame rails with, like, lead pellets, and then there was this... You could kick the switch and the lead pellets would fall out of
my God.
You know, it was so...
People just praying for a crash.
But I love the cheating. You know, it was, you know, the gray area. I love the gray area. And what NASCAR did is they removed it.
Now there's restrictor plates and all that.
Well, they had restrictor plates back then, too. And they'd be like, NASCAR gave Ford a quarter inch in the restrictor plate. You know, but it was that was what I liked. And when they got rid of all of that, there was no... You know, you could still do things, but... It wasn't as fun, and then of course Jeff Gordon retired. And honestly, when Dale Earnhardt died, I'll never forget that day either. I actually started crying. It was weird. We lived in Easton, had come over here, watched the race at my parents' house, watched the wreck had happened because that was Daytona. We'd gone all winter. You know, by that time I was a huge NASCAR fan, and we'd gone all winter. And then we saw the wreck, but we had to get back to Easton, so we jumped in the car, and we're driving. And the whole time I'm like, I wonder if Dale Earnhardt's okay.
Oh, man, that was rough, and especially because his boy, you know, has carry on his legacy, and it was just,
his son, I remember that. His son does a great podcast, the Download, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Download. He has some great, like Terry Labonte and just old people. But anyway, I don't know how we got on that. But so listen, we talked for an hour. I don't know if it felt like it, but I thought it was a great conversation.
I can't believe
I just got stuck there in the middle. About what I was going to tell you. It's never happened, so I apologize.
That's all right.
You know, it's a fact. This podcast has been very fast paced.
Yeah, for sure.
I've
been fun. I forgot I was on a podcast.
Well, I hope you have enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm serious. I would love to have you. You're very educated, very smart in this field of mortgages and banking and lending and stocks and all that stuff. Think about it. Maybe we'll do a podcast. I'll give you the microphone.
I'm not just saying that. I'll do it.
Okay. I'll figure out how to make it happen. So we'll start doing it because there's a lot of people that like talking about money.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really interesting.
Well, and I think you could educate some people.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Christian, I appreciate it. Yep. Anytime anybody comes on, I always say thank you because I know you took an hour out of your day. You could have been making money that hour.
You know what? If I can get one person to friend me on Facebook, give me a call. If one person reaches me out of this, then it's a success.
Well, say your name again.
Christian Moore, friend me on Facebook. Check us out, Motto Mortgage. Follow us. Whatever you can to support. Again, it's a local business. We're really building it from the ground up. There's only 2 loan officers, so I'd really appreciate just any support.
And I can tell you, I see you guys over there hustling it, and you're there.
Got 10 phone calls to answer.
I appreciate that. I mean, that's awesome. Christian, thank you. We're going to probably have you start doing a podcast, so great. We'll keep people posted, but... I think we're going to make that happen. You're my first personality.
Awesome.
All right, brother, man. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, bud.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.